Greetings and may the peace of Christ be with you. Welcome to Holy Family Radio. This is Deacon Jim Thorndal and I'm privileged to be your host today. I warmly invite you to enter into another conversation in living the Catholic life. You know, at times we think just living the Catholic life might be just going to church on Sunday or maybe it's saying a rosary periodically. It could be many things. It could be just in being part of the parish life and joining into different organizations and groups, whether it be an extraordinary minister or it might be maybe clean church, whatever it may be. But, you know, there's also a deeper need for both women and men to really come into a closer understanding of who they are. And that really means that women and men need to connect to one another in groups or communities, because what happens is there's a dynamic that goes on when they get together. And the reason we're talking about this today is I have with me Carolyn Morrison, who's the secretary for the National Council of Catholic Women, and they're going to be hosting a what number is this, Carolyn?
Well, we've been in existence for 94 years, so 94 years.
So it's going to be the 94th gathering of the of a women's conference. It's going to be at the Amway Hotel on September 24th, 25th, 26th, and 27th. And Carolyn, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Glad to be here.
Yes, it's a pleasure to have you. You know, these are always big events because, as we said, there's something about women gathering together and men gathering together that really brings the relationship alive and really helps women to understand, as well as men, to understand the role as Catholics in our church.
And they're complementary roles.
Yes.
We need each other, but they're also separate roles.
Exactly, exactly. And I think sometimes people have a hard time digesting that because it's really not one is better than the other. One is not superior to the other. One is complementary to the other.
Absolutely.
And so when we act in harmony in that complementary role, the men and women do their best. That's when they're at their best. Isn't that right?
That's right.
Yeah. So you know, before we get into how long you've been doing this, first of all, let us know who's going to be your speakers this year.
Oh, my goodness. We have wonderful, wonderful speakers. Dr. Ralph Martin is coming. He is going to be talking about the Catholic woman and the new evangelization.
Okay.
And so,
and
you
I
know,
have heard him speak on that too. It's marvelous.
It's marvelous. Well, and the whole point is, so women, why bother? You know, what's the point? Why would you even bother to evangelize? Or do you even understand what it means to evangelize?
Right.
And so he's going to be explaining that a little bit.
Okay.
Teresa Tamio is coming, and she's going to be talking about the media and the family, and what harm some medias can do, and what you as a parent and a grandparent also can do to help the families navigate.
Yeah.
Because it's a difficult navigation. It's much different than when we were children.
It is.
Much different.
It is. You know, thanks be to God, we have things like Holy Family Radio and Ave Maria Radio. Because, you know, without these type of radio programs, sometimes we never hear the truth. Our children are bombarded with the things of the world. And Teresa Tommy will bring that out because she came from a secular media. And she really had an epiphany. And the Lord really touched her heart to come into not only strong into her Catholic faith, but really to come into the Catholic media.
And I've heard her story, and you're absolutely right. And we appreciate hearing it because it's both sides then.
Yeah.
And to help the family, we need a roadmap. We need to know those ins and outs.
Absolutely. And when you talked about Dr. Ralph Martin, as I said, I've heard him speak before, and I've had the pleasure of meeting him before. You know, he's going to be talking about that new evangelization. And I've said it before, but Pope John Paul talked about that new evangelization because he said it was needed in this country.
Right.
Yeah. And he said, you know, that the two biggest problems with our culture today is moral relativism and the abdication of personal responsibility. And that's really what he's going to probably be helping to digest on those two things.
Well, and I think that we, at least of my generation, Vatican II, lost a lot and then didn't teach our children a lot necessarily. And we need to know that. We need to know our Catholic faith before we can talk to other people about it.
Exactly.
And that's part of the evangelizing is to actually know it yourself and then share it.
You know, Carolyn, you say that we lost. You know, you and I are probably, but I'm a little older, but the same generation.
That was kind.
Why do you think we lost that? What do you think? I keep analyzing that in my mind. What do you think it is that stopped us from being more of an evangelist with our children and the people in our lives?
I think it was part of the social time. The culture at the time was flower children, and somehow we equated that then to Vatican II.
Yeah.
And so we just, you know, went free, flowing, and just didn't seem to matter.
Yeah.
And I think the church got a lot of pressure that way.
It did. And I think it was more, and I won't, not directly to the church, but I think there was some tepidness in the church at that time, mm-hmm. too, even from the Amble. I don't think we were really, you know, getting that forceful truth, because things seemed to be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like everything else, don't rock the card if it's not.
Well, and I'm not sure that they totally understand what the documents really were.
Exactly.
And as they're now being reviewed again, they're not what we thought they were.
Exactly. It's a huge difference. Yes, a huge difference. So here we are going in your 94th year of the conference. Now, how long have you been secretary?
Actually, it's a 2-year elected term, so only a year now.
Okay.
The council itself, National Council of Catholic Women, was established by the bishops 94 years ago.
Okay.
Because they wanted an umbrella organization for all Catholic women and for all Catholic women organizations. And even at the time, there were other organizations, but they chose the National Council of Catholic Women to do it. And so we were continuing along that mission.
Sure.
To unite Catholic women.
Okay. So people are hearing Carolyn Morrison. My question now to Carolyn is, how did you get in the position? Can you tell us just a little bit about your journey in your Catholic life, in your faith?
Gosh, it must have started 45 years ago when my second child was born, and we wanted a young mother's group in the church.
Okay. Let me back up. Were you born and raised Catholic?
I was raised Catholic, yes. And we wanted this young woman's group, and they decided they would let us do that in our church. And so we did, and it was a young woman's group. We had babies there at all times, and it just progressed to that with some helpful prodding from friends that you needed to, okay, it's now your turn to go to the next level, and it just progressed from there, basically.
So you're on this, this is how the group started.
That is how that particular guild started.
Okay.
And I think that they start that way, you know, they can start that way in churches today.
Okay.
I think it's real important that the older women who can be mentors for the younger group, because we need to always pass that down, and we need to share that. When I was young, I didn't know that that was really necessary, but it was the older women who actually nurtured us along the way. And we need those grandmother types, mother types, to continue to do that.
Yes.
Now, again, we're talking cultural, because we do live in this culture. We have to do it on their timetable. So we're finding that if groups start young women's groups and they hold them, like during Sunday CCD classes or during Wednesday night for that 1 hour, because women work, they have very limited time. But if you insert it where they are anyway, they're far more likely to come to that time. And so we're trying to reach them that way.
Yeah.
We want to share.
Of course, of course. You know, I think one of probably the most damaging movements for women in our lifetime was really the movement of the freedom of the women. I'm drawing a blank on the word I want, but where women wanted to be me, they wanted to be free. There was this, I don't want to relate to men. There was really this push away, this militancy that happened. And they lost the understanding of the femininity of women and the role that were particular to a woman.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think women can be very strong. They have to be strong.
Yeah.
They've always been strong.
Look at the Bible.
But it's different than men. And then again, in our culture, I don't watch a lot of TV, but just the sitcoms that I see, it seems that men are very demeaned right now.
Yes.
And they shouldn't be.
Yes.
They should not be. They're strong.
Yeah.
And most men are strong.
I agree. There's, along with the movement of the women, there was a demasculation of the men.
Absolutely.
And that demasculation started to men. I hate to say this, but they really can look like imbeciles on television. And you realize that this is not what we're trying to teach our children, because it doesn't show them the value.
Well, it doesn't show our sons. I mean, we have sons. We want them to be strong. We want them to be men. And these imbeciles that are on TV, and if that's what they're watching and that's all they see. You know, I went to a funeral yesterday that just nearly broke my heart. A 47-year-old man was killed, accidental. But he left behind a 16 and a 12-year-old son. And I think about them, and they've lost that. So prayfully, his uncles, and I think they will, they'll pick it up, and they'll help. But we have to help each other, because if they just get it from TV.
Yeah, I know it. And in our young people emulate what they see.
Yes, they do.
And without that strength and that direction, it's hard for them to really assimilate their role into culture.
Yes.
Properly. So really, that's what these conferences are about, right? Also, these women's conferences.
Absolutely. We want to make women strong. It's part of the mission statement. We want to empower women, to support women, but with spirituality and with leadership, and to be the best that the women can be, but it's a complement to men. It's not in conflict with men.
That's right.
I think the bishops see that. You know, they're still very, very supportive. Gosh, we've got four bishops at any one mass and an archbishop for these masses, which the masses themselves at the convention are open to the public. You'd have to get on the website to know exactly when they are, but they're beautiful.
Yes.
They're just beautiful.
Now, I think you have Bishop Boyer's going
Bishop
to be
Boyer's,
there. Bishop Bradley.
Bishop Bradley. Actually, Archbishop from St. Paul, Minneapolis, Neenstein, the Archbishop is coming.
Wonderful.
Bishop Reese is coming. The Auxiliary Bishop from Detroit's now coming.
Wonderful.
And the new bishop in Gaylord will be coming.
Oh, really?
He's being installed the 28th of August, and he's also coming. So,
well, that's marvelous.
It's wonderful.
That's
wonderful.
That's men who see the need to evangelize and continue to lift women up.
Yes,
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, you're from Coldwater.
I am from
Coldwater. And the name of your parish is?
St. Charles Borromeo.
Okay. And you've been preaching there quite a while.
My whole life.
Your whole life. That's wonderful. Now, when you're reaching out to this is a national conference for women. I know you said you're expecting at least 600 women to attend this. So would that be from all over the United States?
All over the United States. We probably have, I'm going to say 70 from Michigan, but the rest of them are from all over the United States.
Okay. Now, have you been advertising this?
Advertising, yes, you've been advertising it. We have a wonderful website and a system within the membership of telling women about it.
Okay.
Again, travel can be expensive for people, so we recognize that. Holy Family is going to be broadcasting two keynote speakers, so that will be helpful.
Right.
We may have a television show coming. We're confirming those details now,
okay.
just to share it. But one of the points of the whole convention is to share the information for those women and to take them back, because many of the women who will be coming are they're either province directors, diocesan presidents, presidents of their own parish council. They don't have to be named Council of Catholic Women. We have altar societies. We have Daughters of Isabella. Again, it's all Catholic women organizations.
Right.
It's not just, quote, Council of Catholic Women.
Right. Okay. Another question I want to ask you is, this may be a good time during this broadcast we're doing here. Let's get that website in a couple times today. Do you have that at your fingertips right now?
Oh, nccw.org, National Council of Catholic Women.org.
Okay.
nccw.org.
Yeah, let's mix one more time on that.
nccw.org.
For you ladies that are listening, if you go on that website, you'll be able to see all the information and the speakers that will be available. And again, that conference is going to be on September 24th through the 27th, and with a great lineup with Dr. Ralph Martin and Teresa Tomeo. So I think it's something you'd be well advised to take a look at and consider on that. I am speaking with Carolyn Morrison, who is the Secretary for the National Council of Catholic Women. And Carolyn, when you go to your when you're trying to select who your speaker is going to be, what type of formality you go through for that? What's your discernment process?
Actually, we had recommendations of about 60 or 70, and so we one of our expectations was that someone on the committee had heard them speak so that we know that they were good speakers, because sometimes speakers can be very knowledgeable but not necessarily present well, and we wanted both. And they needed to be national speakers. Some are known better than others nationally, because it is a national convention and we need nationally known speakers. Mm-hmm. So that's basically the process that we go through.
So you weeded through the ones and found the ones that would be most amicable to this.
And then also ones that fit the theme. This year's theme is Catholic Women United in Truth. And we stay very close as we possibly can to what the bishop's call is for the year, which is one of the new evangelizations. That's one of the things they're emphasizing, so we're emphasizing. And so that all goes into those choices.
Okay. You know, you brought up a great topic right now, focusing on truth. And probably one of the hardest things for Catholics, even all people, to gravitate to is really that there is an absolute truth, an objective truth. And, you know, when we speak about truth, we're speaking about something that is tangible, something that we can know. But yet, many times, even in our own church, we have people who really go by subjective truth, where they can't really digest what they believe or say what they believe.
And probably pro-life, abortion is probably the best example that I can think of. There is truth to that.
Exactly.
There is life. The church teaches it. It is life.
Yeah.
But the truth is there before the church was teaching it.
Exactly. You know, and many times I will talk to Catholics because the National Catholic Bishops have come out with a statement on the conscience of a voter for Catholics. And, you know, abortion is called an intrinsic evil. And we as Catholics are never to vote for anyone who would support an intrinsic evil. And yet there's this dichotomy of thinking within our church today is that it's just another issue. And yet they don't see it as the most paramount issue of all, because if we don't have an understanding of life, how can we make life-altering changes and decisions?
We can't.
Yeah.
We have to have that respect.
Exactly. Yeah. And when we lose that, then we lose our objective understanding of what it is to be human.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the other issue, the other side of that is, unfortunately, there have been abortions. Vicki Thorne, who started Project Rachel many years ago, is also one of our speakers.
She at this conference?
At this convention, yes. She's coming in. But she's talking about healing. She's not really, she said to me on the phone that she said, you know, one in four probably of the women sitting in your audience either have had an abortion or know someone that does.
Yeah.
And they need healing. And the church is there for healing, too. So it's not just a strict father. It's a very forgiving father.
It is. You know, and we talked about the role of women and the role of men, and we always think of the woman who's the only one hurt by abortion. Mm-hmm. But we also know, too, that there are many hurting fathers out there.
Of course.
And if we could somehow just... If your conference could somehow touch the heart of these women to really be able to vocalize and really bring that message out into the world, because, you know, it's so necessary, particularly when we're raising our sons and our daughters.
And maybe that at your conferences be something to touch on.
Yes.
Because men, they're equally involved.
They are.
You know, it's equally important to them.
Yeah. You know, we have, unfortunate but true, here in Grand Rapids, we have an abortion clinic, you know, and many of the women will go in there under duress or coerced, really not wanting to go through it. But sometimes you never know who's putting the pressure on them to go in there. And some may do it willingly. But the reality of it is there's always two people involved in there, or three people. And the one that suffers the most is the child.
You know, we had an abortion clinic while in Coldwater. They did not perform abortions there, but it was a Planned Parenthood. And we had a number of women who simply prayed the rosary.
Yeah.
Every Saturday, prayed the rosary on the sidewalk.
Oh, yes.
In front of them. And, you know, maybe if they saved one baby. And they think they did, and actually it closed.
Isn't that wonderful?
It's gone. Yes, it's gone.
Praise be to God.
And the ones in Texas, I understand, there was like 41 of actual abortion clinics where they performed abortions, and I think they have six now. Wow. So we need to do that work.
Yeah.
We need to do that work.
You know, we do need to do that. And another thing, if we could, just give us a kind of an overview of what the conference is going to look like. You've got a four-day conference. So what can the ladies expect when they come into this conference? I think you're going to feed them a little bit, too.
We're going to certainly feed them. We're going to have fun.
Good.
We're going to have a great time. It's also very spiritual. We're doing the Rosary on the River.
Oh, that'll be beautiful.
Yes, it will. A living rosary where everyone actually has a part.
Oh, wonderful.
There's some wonderful spiritual events also going on. The speakers, like you said, are very good. The food is very good. There's also a lot of learning about leadership and, okay. And about counsel. So it's a multi-pronged convention. It's going to be busy.
We have workshops?
We do have workshops.
Okay.
And those workshops can be leadership, they can be spirituality, they can be service. Those are the three prongs of national, and those basically are what we are going to be emphasizing.
Okay. So during this conference, are women encouraged, I'm sure they are, to really look at more leadership roles or to consider people who might be considered somebody that might be a personality that could lead other women?
Yes and no. Any woman can be taught to lead if mm-hmm. she's given the right things. You can be the leader in a group of two people.
That's right.
And so the leadership, it's not necessarily just to be a leader of a council, but it will teach you the mechanics of leadership
okay.
that you can use.
Okay. Okay. How many councils would you know in the United States?
Well, we have over 4,000 affiliate members, so,
wow.
You know, if you think about that, that's a lot. But they're also, 38 million Catholics, so we should have more.
77.7 registered million Catholics in the United States of America.
So half of those are women, so we could have more.
That's right. Well, you know, and that's part of the function of the conference is to bring that awareness to other women, because there are many women out there who obviously either don't know about this conference or don't see the value to it.
Well, I think the women in the parish sometimes are very busy doing what they're doing, and they don't see that larger picture. But we want to be a voice for Catholic women. We, you know, we're at the UN. We actually have a representative that goes to the UN. And, you know, they want worldwide abortion and contraception. And we have to voice, wait a minute, we're not doing that. Come on.
Exactly.
You can't do that. We also belong to the World Union of Council Catholic Women. We're going to Fatima in October.
Wonderful.
And that will have 46 different, 48, 49, 50 different countries at. So there's a uniting in that. And it is important to unite worldwide. We Catholics, it's worldwide.
Yeah. I've always said if Catholics could vote close to one heart and one mind, we should be able to dictate to our society the mores and the morals that go on.
And again, it's the evangelization. I think if they know the Catholic faith, that would happen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you touched on another hot button, and let's talk about that a little bit, too, and hopefully you'll touch on it in your conference, or someone will, because I think it's one of those topics where there's not a true sense of the presence of the understanding of the church and the mind of the church, and that's contraceptive. It's a tough situation.
It's a very tough situation.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the polls, you look at what the surveys say, even Catholics are pretty divided about it.
Yeah.
And again, I think it's that they don't understand the teaching.
Yeah.
They don't understand the truth of it.
Yeah, they don't understand the mind of the church. No. The church isn't there to say, well, you can't do this.
Right.
The church is there to say, we know that your life will be edified and really there'll be more satisfaction in your life if you really follow that teaching, because the teaching of contraception has come true. It was drawing the Pope at the Second Vatican Council when he wrote that, and I'll have it in a minute. I'm drawing a blank on his name, but he was prognosticating all the things that would happen with the advent of increase in contraception. There'd be abortion, divorces, many things going on in the family, and it's really becoming true now. And you were starting to see that.
It sure is.
Yeah. And so we need to have that understanding of why the church teaches that.
We went to the march last January and were privileged then to go with the USCCB to their reception afterwards. And there was a doctor there who had just recently written a book, and she's pretty well outlined what we're not being told about contraception and how actually dangerous it is to the woman.
Yes.
And what a bill of goods that we've been sold.
Absolutely.
And women need to know that. They need to know. I mean, think about all this breast cancer.
Yeah.
Well, where'd it come from?
Exactly.
Think about it.
And the false teaching was that women were going to be liberated by it. And in reality, it really has brought them into more a servitude to men.
Yes.
Yeah. And they don't see that.
No, they don't see that.
And by the grace of God, maybe we can open their eyes. And maybe this conference can, maybe someone at the conference can bring that to light, too, I would hope. Because
I hope so, too. And one of the things we haven't touched on that the conference is going to touch on is religious freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how much you're following what's going on in the East.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's absolutely, it's horrendous.
They're driving the Christians out.
They just burnt down an 1,800-year-old church.
Yeah.
You know, Catholic Church, they're taking nuns, the Dominican nuns that are from Adrian. They have a nun who was captured there, returned with some children. They're killing people. They're putting, in Iraq, they've been putting this sign, and I don't know if I'm going to pronounce it right. I haven't heard it pronounced. It's spelled N-U-N, so I don't know if it's nun, noon.
Noon.
And it's a circle. It looks like a smiley face, but with one eye is as close as my description that I could look at it. And they're putting it on the sides of Christians' homes.
Yes.
And they have a choice. They can renounce their faith. They can pay a tax. They can leave the country. Or they can just kill them.
Yeah.
You know, okay, you're dead.
Yeah. There is a tremendous naivete in this country to think that this could never happen here. But the reality of it is, we're slowly seeing that same mentality start to creep into our culture.
Absolutely. Yep.
And until we start to wake up and say, you know, it's time for we as Christians to become alive in our faith and really start to I'm not saying we're advocating violence, but we need to really come together as a group and really voice our understanding of who we are.
Well, we need to that. We need to know that don't buy the whole look what is happening there. They're putting these signs on people's homes, and
yes,
look what they did with the Jewish people during World
That's
War
right.
II, before
That's
World
right.
War II.
That's
and
right.
look what happened to those people. Well, now they're doing it to Christians.
Yes.
That's us. That's us. Can it happen here?
Mm-hmm.
One of our speakers that is coming is Joyce Cornell. She writes for Catholic Sun in Phoenix, and she has gotten very close over the years to a number of people from Iraq. And what is going on over there. She's written a wonderful book. We will have all these books for sale also
wonderful.
By all these
wonderful
speakers. And she's coming, and she will talk about religious freedom, but it's the extreme, but it's happening now. We have martyrs now.
Yes, we do.
Right now.
Dietrich Bonhoeffer, during the time when Hitler invaded and was taking over the Nazi party and going after the different people in the world. That's when he wrote that famous talk about first they came for the socialists, and you know when they came for him, there was nobody
left
to speak for him.
Right.
And in many ways, if we don't wake up in this nation to that understanding, we can be that one that nobody's left to speak for
no
us.
No one's left.
Yeah.
No one's left.
That's why there is such a necessity for these conferences. We have our Catholic Men's Conference here called CAFA, which is tied to the National Catholic Association of Catholic Men's Conferences. There's about 50 of those throughout the United States. You have the National Council of Catholic Women's Conference here. And it's really an opportunity for women to get together to understand that they're not alone.
They're not alone.
Yeah.
We're all in this together.
Yes, right. But sometimes I think we can feel like an island unto ourselves when we leave. You know, there's the safety net of our church. And we're there with the people in the parish, and we're glorifying God, and we're praising God there. But you can feel pretty powerful in the group. But when you walk outside that church, is really when the rubber meets the road. It's what do we do with our lives once we get outside of the church?
And it should be together.
Yes.
They shouldn't be separate. What we learn in church needs to go every day.
That's right.
It needs to go with us every day.
Right. And that's really community.
as a community.
That's really building a community of believers and really the men and the women who really have that profound sense of faith to take that 2x2, 4x4 really out into the world. And live that faith. I mean, it's hard for women today, and men too, to really articulate that in the workplace sometime.
And they need to. Business needs strong Christian people.
Yeah.
They need it. Well, we need it in every single walk of life.
That's right.
Elections are coming. You've got to look at what those politicians or the candidates, what do they really stand for? Do they stand for life? You know, you can find out easily enough. Just go to Right to Life, to their website, and they list by county.
Yes, they do.
What, you know, who they've endorsed and who they haven't. You know, I take a cheat sheet with me because,
absolutely,
you know, some of the regents for U of M, Michigan State, I'm not going to know those people. But that's a real singular voting. It's really important to me,
yeah,
to know.
And the danger is some people will just pull a straight ticket.
I know.
Without putting any thought of who they're voting for. And I caution people, if you want to be an educated voter, you have to do the work.
Yes.
Because there are both Democrats and Republicans who are pro-life,
right,
and we need to know who they are because that is our number one objective,
right,
is always for life. And so the elections are coming up, and so all men and women really need to become those educated voters with a conscience.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, with a moral conscience. You're listening to Holy Family Radio. This is Deacon Jim Thorndale. I'm with Carolyn Morrison, who's the Secretary for the National Council of Catholic Women, and we're talking about the upcoming conference that's going to be at the Amway Hotel on September 24th, 25th, 26th, and 27th, and they got an all-star lineup coming up. They've got Dr. Ralph Martin's going to be there and Teresa Tomeo, so they've got two named speakers that'll really be dynamic and powerful and really helping women to understand what it means to their role in the church and their role in society today. So, Carolyn, as we continue on this conversation, obviously, you have facilities for the women, or you've already planned on some hotels that they're lined up for them?
Most of us are staying at the Amway.
Okay.
It's just a contractual,
okay,
agreement because we'd like to be in one place.
Yeah.
And we're in all the ballrooms and all the meeting rooms because we are offering a lot of different sessions.
Sure. As the day progresses, now what time will it start on the 24th? Just so I have some idea.
The 24th, actually, we have a reception, a president's reception.
Okay.
There's a presidential forum. There's a province director forum. I know many women don't understand the hierarchy exactly, the church, to know that the bishops have the country divided into provinces.
Yes.
Michigan happens to be one whole province. There are other provinces that would include several states, but the Detroit province is all of Michigan, including the Upper Peninsula. And then from these province directors, we have diocesan presidents, and then we go to deaneries, vicariates, depending on your diocese, what they call them, to parishes, to the woman. But every level is as important as the other, including the woman who is in the parish who's cleaning the linens.
Of course.
They're all very, very important to the church.
All vital to the life of the church.
Yes.
How many states do you think will respond? How many states will be represented at your conference? Have you any idea right now?
I haven't looked at that.
Okay.
Looked at it that way. I would assume most of them.
You think anybody from Hawaii?
Wouldn't that be wonderful? I know we do have a council in the Virgin Islands.
Okay.
That's part of a province. Oddly, out of Washington, D.C., it's connected.
Really?
Yeah, it's an odd province to me, but that will be represented.
Okay.
So from all over.
Okay. Well, these women come, will some of them bring their husbands for the week? Do you know, is there going to?
They may be bringing the husbands. Some of the older women won't drive,
yeah,
won't travel alone. We're trying to, I want to make sure that they know the great golf courses that we have,
yes,
around here, because that would be great for them to be doing during the day. But again, the liturgies are open to everyone, so they could certainly attend all the liturgies.
Absolutely.
But there's things for other people to do also. And, of course, art prize is going on, which was by design.
Oh, yeah, of course. And it's going to be great. Have you been to art prize?
I've been to art prize.
Yes.
And I try explaining it to these women last year. They don't get it.
No, you can't.
You can. It's all-encompassing.
It'll be vibrant for them down there.
Vibrant.
The whole downtown.
Oh, just on fire.
Yeah. And, you know, it really won't affect you so much for the restaurants either, because it's more families down there and groups that really don't go into the restaurant. They do some of the cafes, but your group should be fine for eating and dining and all that. But it is a wonderful time to be down there. Mm-hmm. And you brought a good point. If the women listening, I know just in our area, but you might have friends who want to come from great distance. And September is a beautiful month for golfing in Michigan, and we have some beautiful golf courses there. So we would encourage the husbands to come along as a chaperone and then take advantage of the beautiful golf courses here in Michigan.
Well, my husband and son and son-in-laws all were on their little golf outing last week, and they did Arcadian Bluffs. And,
oh, beautiful.
And they told me, of course, that it was the second in the country, I believe, something like that. So, yeah, we've got some great, great golf courses.
Yeah, it's excellent. But, you know, we only get them till about the end of October.
Well, that's okay.
That's wonderful.
That's okay.
So as this conference starts to progress, has it been in all the states so far out of 94 years? Have you moved that around throughout the country?
Well, it's only been one other time in Michigan.
Okay.
I don't know the history of that to know if it's been in all the other states.
Okay. Where was it last year?
Last year we were in Fort Lauderdale.
Okay.
Myrtle Beach the year before that. We've been in, we'll be in Orlando next year because we wanted to make it very family accessible, pulling the younger women in.
Of course.
We probably are going to do maybe the Midwest, maybe California the following couple of years.
Okay.
Just spread it out.
You know, Carol, I know these take an enormous amount of work. Just for our local conference, I know what it takes to put speakers together, for facilities, for food. I mean, all that has to be taken into account. You have to look at the logistics of how you move them around and in all those rooms, and you really have to plan and then plan again.
And we have probably 60 volunteers that are going to help with that. We've had a wonderful planning actual committee that has been planning all along. The one for next year is already planning.
Of course.
Carolyn Wu, who is the president of Catholic Relief Services, already committed to being a speaker.
Okay.
So you start all over.
Exactly.
And ahead of time. I mean, we're already into next year.
Yeah, you have to be.
You have to be. To get the speakers you want, you have to be.
Exactly. We found that out with our CAFER conference. We're going into March for our next conference. We're always looking into March of 2016 and who's going to be there because good speakers are in demand.
Yes, they are.
And good speakers could make a brick a conference.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So you have to have it there. During the other conferences, do you recall any of the other speakers since you've been here? Who might have been some of the speakers?
Hmm.
I always ask that question. That's all right if you don't.
I don't write offhand.
That's okay. That's okay. But, you know, I look back at ours, and there has been a litany of good conferences.
Very good. I keep going back every year.
And you know what? And the reality of it is people remember those good conferences, and they remember the getting together and really the articulating of the truth you're going to talk about. As these women gather, do you see a change in them, or do you see them bonding a little more during the time as they get toward the end of the conference?
I think that women love to be with women, girlfriends.
Yeah.
Just we love our men also.
Yes.
But as men want to talk football, we might not want to talk football. We might want to talk about the latest recipe not to say that there aren't really important issues, there are, but that bonding encompasses a lot of different areas and a lot of different levels. And yes, I do think that they certainly bond and go away feeling better about the church and about themselves and about what they can do. One person can do a lot, and we need to have them know that.
Exactly.
And then they need to know that, but all of us together can really do a lot.
Yeah. You know, Carolyn, one of the things we struggle with many times at our conference, too, is because we have, we started out with our first conference, I think we had 100 men. And slowly we've been growing and growing and growing. Last year we had about 800 or 900 men, and this year we're anticipating maybe 1,500 men.
Wonderful.
But we struggle with two things. We struggle with the type of prayer sometimes. And I mean, I should say because of how you can pray charismatic, there's different ways to pray. And music. People have different intensities of music. People like some of the traditional, others like the more modern. So, you know, it's always a struggle for us on the music. And you ever find that to be true?
It's certainly true. And so you end up usually with a mixed bag.
Yeah.
And then that way it'll appeal to someone, maybe not all the time, but part of the time.
Yeah.
You know, I know when we go to the world conferences, they're wonderful because they'll have actual, like, continents, like Africa will do a mass.
Yeah.
And that's a whole different beat to
is.
The drum. And it's wonderful. It's great to be exposed to.
Yes, it is.
And Korea did a mass one time, and that was totally different.
I'll bet it's
and
beautiful.
Yet it's all the same. It's all the Catholic mass.
Exactly.
All the same.
Isn't it amazing? My wife and I have had the opportunity to travel around the world and in different places, and it is amazing. Regardless of the church you're in, the mass is still, and you can follow it precisely. You know exactly where you're at. You may not understand the language, and the music may be different, but you know what? You're still engaged in the same mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty of it when you're in those.
I was an exchange student in high school in Germany and didn't speak any German, but went to mass every, and it was the mass.
Yes.
I knew exactly what was going on.
Yes.
You know, I prayed. It was exactly the same.
You knew you were receiving the body of Christ.
You knew it.
You know, there's another issue that really we could talk about here too, particularly as it relates to women. Is this, there's this tepidness sometimes, or I shouldn't say tepidness, but many Catholics, we've done polls, who really don't believe in the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist. Because I think we failed to really give the discipline and the understanding of the sacrifice at the altar. And I think we need to somehow catechize our young people into the back of the understanding, because we lose them to evangelicals, we lose them to better music or better sermons, but they never engage in the mystery.
But I think we need to evangelize our older people also, because
yes.
I don't know that they know that. I think that's part of what happened with, quote, the Vatican II era. It's an era.
Yeah.
I think that was, I don't want to say dropped, but, you know, really wasn't emphasized.
It wasn't. You know, I remember as an altar server, my prayers were in Latin. I remember having the communion rail
mm-hmm.
in the church, and I think people did miss that. But there also, I don't think the church did a great job of giving them an understanding of why we made the changes and mm-hmm. why we're trying to draw Catholics into an understanding, because they weren't drawing into the mystery with the priest with his back turned to them, and they were just doing rote prayers without understanding what was going on. Mm-hmm. And the church, in her beauty and her wisdom and the mind of the church, was we wanted to be more engaged in the pews.
Right. And I think that we still have churches. I have been, you know, in a lot of churches around the country. And it's a real large spectrum of what they're doing. But it's still mass.
Yes.
But I have been in churches still. There's one in Kalamazoo, in fact, that still has the rail that you may kneel at.
Yeah.
And that's all okay.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
It's all okay.
They have a Trinitine Mass here in Grand Rapids every Sunday at 12:30 at one of mm-hmm. our parishes, and a lot of people attend that.
Mm-hmm.
They're still drawn to that, and
mm-hmm.
and it's wonderful
mm-hmm.
because it really is the heart of the church also. Mm-hmm. So that can be engaging as well. As the women, as you see women and you relate to women, what are some of the biggest obstacles you think that women have in today, not only in the church but as women, that can be dealt with?
I think we've been sold a bill of goods about what a woman is,
okay.
and also what a man is,
mm-hmm.
and I think that we've been told that they don't complement each other and that they can be equal, no, be the same.
Or almost to be adversarial.
Yes, almost to, and it isn't that way. It wasn't intended to be that way,
yeah.
and it shouldn't be that way. I think women can help each other. I think they can help society. You know, the Catholic Church, I mean, who is it that when the country needs help. I mean, truly, who do they go to?
The Catholic Church.
The schools.
Every nation.
Every nation. Be a part, you know, if we can be a part, even if it's just in the parish level, and I don't mean just, because that's a very, very important thing.
Exactly.
You know, do what you can do. Go ahead and give. Give your gifts. They were given to you. Give them.
That's right. One of the things, they say, think globally and act locally.
Yes.
You know, really, it's to understand, working within your parish, number one, because that is the church.
That's the church.
We are community.
That's
and
church.
We are all church. Women relating to their daughters. You know, it's a difficult time. We've come into a different parenting in a way in this time where I sense that sometimes the parents want to be more friends than a parent. And there's a leniency, but there's a different mindset today that sometimes can be it can cause problems. Because of the lack of understanding of our kids are looking to us as role models.
They are, and they're going to watch you. You know, they're watching us. I have three daughters and a son, and they still watch you, even though, you know, they're grown up and they know it all.
Yeah.
They still, even at this point, will come and say, oh, I think maybe you were right on that.
Yeah.
and it's not that I ever... it's just showing them. It's living it. It's what you live, really.
Exactly.
That... is showing them. I know these two young boys that I talked about very early, whose dad was killed unexpectedly. He gave them a wonderful foundation. He, you know, the oldest is working on his Eagle Scout.
Wonderful. When
in church, you know, he was the example to them. They're going to have that their whole life.
Yes,
you know,
they will.
Their whole life. And even when children, because... as you know, many children do leave the church, and it's many a heartbreak for a mom and a dad.
Exactly.
But, you know, if they've been in the church, it's still there. That Catholicism is just still there. You know, once a Catholic, I think always a Catholic.
Well, absolutely.
You know?
And, you know, there's something so deep and profound about the Catholic Church that I've had friends leave the church and come back to it because mm-hmm. they said there was something missing mm-hmm. where they tried to duplicate it or at least tried to substitute something for it.
Right.
But they weren't drawn into the mystery.
No.
I think when our children leave, it's a heartbreak for all of us.
It's a heartbreak.
And sometimes... we have to look in the mirror and say, what was it that they didn't see in me, but not always.
Not always.
Not always. But
not
sometimes
always.
I think it goes back to that catechesis and that strength of character is saying what we believe in a educational way.
And I think that we isolate one type of incident. You know, it's the children that were abused
yeah.
by a priest, and yet that is such a profound thing, and yet that's not the church.
No, it isn't.
That's not the faith.
That's right.
And that's very hard to differentiate that,
it
I
is.
Think, for people.
It is.
They need to look at the whole scope if they can get through the hurt of it.
Exactly.
And then look at it. And people do come back.
Yes.
You know, I was at a field trip for a granddaughter, and this we had, you know, 25 youngsters talking and a dozen parents talking, and the teacher is trying to get phone numbers for this field trip from the parents. And so I gave her my card. It was easier. And she says, oh, and it was a Catholic card. It was a National Council Catholic card because that's what I had, and my phone number was on it. And she says, oh, you're going to try to convince me to go to church, aren't you? And this is in the midst of all these children and parents talking. And I said, you're always invited. You can always come. And she looked at me. I thought, what is she going to say? And she said, you know, I've been thinking about that. I was raised Catholic, and I am thinking about coming back.
Praise be to God.
Yeah, right? Yes. You know, and that's when you evangelize.
Yep.
It's not on the corner. It's,
no, it's
every day, every day.
You know, I think what I was trying to get at more, too, is this, is that sometimes as parents, we can not give the understanding of the importance of the Mass, and we can rush to church and get out and say thanks be to God, it's done, and now we can go about our daily business, mm-hmm. without carrying it into our everyday life. And that's where I think we need to do, all of us, including all myself, need to do see a better job of letting our children see the importance of our faith, the necessity of our faith, and how it impacts us on an everyday basis.
Every day.
In everything we do.
Everything.
Because God should be first in our business and in our play, in our families. Everything we do, it should be God-centered, Christ-centered.
Yes.
Yeah. And so those are the type of things I think, myself included, I need to do better as a parent and a grandparent, is to let them know that it's the very core of who I am.
You know, we get very busy at the running to the volleyball games and running to the baseball games and running to church. So while you're running, talk to them about stuff in the car.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, go ahead, talk to them about it.
You know, I really can miss sometimes those neighborhoods where you saw people walking to church.
Yes. Or sitting on the front porch.
Yeah.
So that neighbors would stop and talk.
Exactly.
Or just talking.
Yeah, and that was a time when neighborhoods were a community where parents could help discipline the other children who were not acting properly because they knew the heart of the parents in the houses mm-hmm. next to them, without any violence or anything. But they would help in that. And so somehow that type of culture has been lost because we're scattered now. We're in gated communities and we're much more guarded than we ever were, and for reasons now too. You know, we start to see that, but it affects men and women when it happens.
It does. And I think that's one of the advantages of coming to a conference like this. You basically know that women at this conference are Catholic.
Yes.
You know, and you basically know what they believe in.
Yes.
And so there's kind of a settling of, you know, I can really talk to them, and they're going to understand. I know where they're coming from.
Yeah.
And discuss different things. And so that bonding that helps reinforce your thoughts, your beliefs, that there is truth there.
Exactly.
There is truth.
Hey, Carolyn, let's give the women some peace of mind, too, in this respect. These are probably women from all walks of life.
Yes.
All income levels.
Yes.
This is not some homogenized, all the same. These are really women who blend together collectively.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Except they're you don't see those differences.
Of course.
You just don't see them because.
Well, they're not wearing uniforms, though.
No, we're just women.
That's just right.
Catholic women together sharing this wonderful conference.
Yeah, with the same value.
Yep. Same values.
Same values, same faith.
Yep, same faith.
Yeah. And that's important because, you know, I think sometimes people can feel excluded because they can be intimidated by what they think is going to go on, when in reality, these are women who are open and loving and displaying their Catholicity to the world to see.
Yes.
It'll be on full display in Grand Rapids.
Yes, it will be.
Yeah, it's wonderful. You know, you never know in something like this who you're going to be evangelizing to.
You never, ever know. I was on a card I was trying to get a card straightened out, and this woman, I believe, probably was from Jamaica, somewhere like that. And it was a Catholic card, so she was trying to do this design work on, and pretty soon she says to me, "Gee, I see you're Catholic." Oh, yeah, that's not what you really get from a person you're ordering from, but okay, yes, of course. She says, "You know, my friend's been talking to me about this, and I really need to look into it." And so I talked to her for a while. And again, it's evangelizing because that's where I was at that particular minute.
Of course.
You know, just that particular minute. And we need to share that. You know, who knows? Someone at this conference could be coming in very questioning. Who knows? You know, it could be the waiter.
Yeah.
You know, it could be anybody that you're around. So understand your faith and share it.
You know, I'm glad you said that, understand your faith, because I think that is one of the points that we need to make to our Catholic men and women is, you know, they can spend an enormous amount of time in their careers learning their jobs, whether they're physicians or dentists or attorneys, CPAs, whatever it may be. And now I've talked to groups and I've said, "How many years have you spent?" And I've spent 18 years of my education. And I've asked them, how much time have you put into understanding your faith? And pretty much it's like deer in a headlight.
Mm-hmm. Silence.
Yeah, they haven't. The most important thing in their life, their faith, and sometimes we don't educate ourselves in it. And we really have to be apologists for our faith. And if we're going to help others, we need to be able to articulate the heart of the church, the mind of the church. And that's important that all of us and those listening to really say, what is it I need to learn about my faith that would make me bolder to be able to speak the truth?
Well, I think just Catholic Radio does it.
You know, it does. Here's hoping, because, you know, I wasn't always as bold, but you know what? As the Lord continued to give me, by the grace of God, some wisdom and some understanding of the faith, it starts to open up your mind. Mm-hmm. And you start to see the heart of the church and what it means to be Catholic.
And you want to share it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you want everybody to have that.
Exactly.
Yep.
And it's not to the detriment or to the denial of the other denominations.
No.
Because there's some beautiful Christian
Absolutely.
People out there. But it really is an understanding that we have this privilege of being Catholic. We have this privilege of 2,000 years of this church that has always stayed on course. What other institution has ever lasted this long?
Right.
Because Christ promised, I would never leave or forsake you.
Yeah.
And so we live in this understanding of living the Catholic faith, living this Catholic life.
Yep.
And I, you know, I at times I'm like, Peter, Lord, where else would I go? You know, did you ever ask yourself that? If you weren't Catholic, where would you go, Carolyn?
I couldn't imagine.
Yeah.
Mm, nowhere.
It becomes that. So in the time we have left, if I were to ask you, what would be a message you would give to women in an understanding of who you are and what a conference can mean? I'll put you on the spot here.
Mm-hmm. I believe that women are daughters of God.
Okay.
Come together as sisters.
Yeah.
And share your faith.
Yeah.
Learn.
Yeah.
Learn about God, learn about each other, learn mostly about yourself,
yeah.
And then go share it.
Yeah. I would also challenge them to beseech the Blessed Mother to understand what it means to live in that fiat, to live in that understanding of saying yes to God. Because I think sometimes there's a trepidation on saying, if I say yes to God, I'm going to lose fun in my life. I'm going to become this boring Catholic. Once you say yes to God, your life is dynamic.
Yeah.
Things change exponentially.
Yeah.
It just starts to, you know, you can't believe how much God is so gracious what he does in your life.
And it's fun.
Yes, it is.
It is fun. And we will have fun.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Are you having fun in your life now?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah?
Are your
children having fun?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good kids.
Yes. And I have to say, yeah, I heard you just got a little bit of sports car. You have a sports car in mind now? Are you ready to jump in that convertible?
You know what? The grandkids have had as much fun with the whole idea as I have, although the two teenagers that could drive it are scared to drive it, which is crazy because I keep telling them that they're going to drive it.
Yes.
It's a car. It's just fun. It's just fun.
Yeah, and that's a gift from the Lord.
Yep.
That really is, and we can look at it that way.
And it was a surprise. The whole car was a surprise, and his gifts are.
That makes it even better.
Uh-huh.
Carolyn, as we're running out of time, let's remind the ladies that there's going to be a National Catholic Women's Conference here in Grand Rapids. It's going to be at the Amway Hotel. The dates are going to be September 24th, 25th, 26th, and 27th. Your speakers, you're going to have great speakers. You've got Dr. Ralph Martin, and you've got a National Syndicated Talk Show host, Teresa Tamio, who will be there. Now, give us information on how people can look you up and if there's a number to call.
Actually, the easiest is to go to the website, and that website is nccw.org, nccw.org. You can always call me. I'm sure they have the information here. My email is carolynmorrison@hotmail.com.
Okay.
Let me, you know, email me. I'm on it many, many times a day for many, many hours. So I'd love to talk to you.
On this website, will all the information be there on hotel reservations and everything you need to know?
Yes, yep.
Register
all
for the conference.
Links, registration, everything's there.
Workshops and everything.
Workshops, everything.
So no excuses.
Oh, just come join us.
Wonderful. You know, this has really been a beautiful conversation because it really ties in very beautifully to what we men understand to be men need to cathect to men. Because there's certain things that only men can understand. And women need to cathect to women because we don't have the heart of a woman and you don't have the heart of a man. And like you said, you want to talk recipe and we want to talk sports.
I know your conference is going to be wonderful, but I really don't care to listen about an NFL player.
So in other words, I don't have to send you an invite.
No, thank you.
That's all right.
My husband, though.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, I want to thank you for being here, Carolyn.
Thank you.
It's been a beautiful conversation.
Yep.
And we're going to be praying for your conference. We're going to pray for the success in that hearts should be changed, hearts should be opened, and that as you grow stronger as women, you'll bring that message out into the world because it is so desperately needed.
So thank you.
Thank you again for being here. And I want to thank all our listeners here at Holy Family Radio. It's been our privilege to be with you. And this is Deacon Jim Thorndal saying God bless.
You've been listening to Living the Catholic Life with your host, Deacon Jim Thorndal on Holy Family Radio. If you'd like to listen to this program again or share it with a friend, audio copies are available online at holyfamilyradio.net. Thank you for listening.